You've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hey everyone, Tamara here. Welcome to another episode of Inside Launch Street. Today, I am once again going to be answering your questions. So if you've got one for me, go to our website, go to the podcast page, and just click the record button. All you got to do, it's like sending me a voicemail for just 1 or 2 minutes of your question, your challenge, your obstacle, whatever it is, we'd love to hear it. Because as I keep saying, if you're suffering from it, somebody else is too. And by the way, if you work in a company and you're worried about someone specific, or you're worried about something that maybe you don't want to talk about the details of it, it's confidential, totally okay. Just change the names and don't say where you're from, or you know what? Even change your name. Totally fine. What's important is that we get these questions out there. Now, today's question comes from Ed. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, Tamara. This is Ed Prather of Ed Prather Real Estate. I'm reaching out because I am very intrigued and hoping to get a little bit of insight from you on something that we in the real estate industry struggle with quite a bit, and probably in most sales-based industries, and that is, how do we protect the best hours of the day, whatever that may be, whether it's the morning hours, the evening hours, but our most productive hours, how do we protect those hours to make sure that we're doing the things that move the needle, the things that actually matter. A big part of that is prospecting and just ensuring that our pipeline is full and making sure our clients are happy. And a lot of times in this industry, we get caught up in the whirlwind and end up not being able to kind of check those boxes, the things that actually do matter, you know, even with the best intentions in place. So my question would be is, do you have any thoughts or any advice or insight on, you know, maybe a new or innovative approach on looking at something that has been around and been an issue in our world for years and probably from the beginning there? And once again, you know, to carve out and protect that time during the day when we're at our best to do the things that actually matter. Thank you in advance, and I'll look forward to your feedback.
Ed, thank you so much for submitting that question. I think that that is something that a lot of us struggle with. And it's a little bit more than just the basics of time management, isn't it? It's more about how do you protect the valuable time and how do you prioritize the things that are actually going to move the needle in your business. I think as you kind of described it as the whirlwind of things that kind of get in the way, I think we often get bogged down by a lot of activities that ultimately translate into busy work, but don't actually move the needle forward. And I will tell you, Ed, I have a great exercise for you and all of us on Launch Street. So here's one thing I did. Oh gosh, it must have been 3 years ago now, but it really helped me with this. I did this exercise where for a week, I tracked all of my activities, the general time that it took. So I did like 5 minute increments. I wasn't worried about whether I was working an 8 hour day. I was just worried about like how long generally do these tasks take me? And then I marked them down as, were they activities that move the needle forward, or did they end up being busy work for one reason or another? And that was an eye-opening exercise for me. It was really eye-opening to see how much of my day was spent on crap. Just stuff that had to get done, but didn't move the needle forward. And don't get me wrong, I think in all of our businesses, we have a lot of things that we have to do, right? We have to submit expenses. We have to talk to our employees and our customers. We have to do those things, but they aren't necessarily our high value activities. So Ed, the first thing I'd ask of you and everyone else, all of us really, is take a week and just start tracking all of the things. I think what you'll find too is there's a lot of distracting elements that happen during your day. Like someone asks you for something while you're in the middle of something else and you got to break and go do it. But track and see how much of your work is that high value and how much of it isn't. I think that's the first thing that's truly eye-opening. And then, Ed, I have a few other suggestions for you that hopefully will help you and all of us be more in that high performance zone where we're doing the things that matter. So the first one is, Ed, I want you to think about having an 18-minute time cap on your meetings. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that whatever meeting time we have gets filled. So if I schedule an hour for a meeting, we take an hour to have that discussion. If I had scheduled 30 minutes for the same meeting, we would take 30 minutes to have that discussion. But here's the interesting thing, Ed. Did you know that our cognitive ability to focus is 18 minutes? That's why TED Talks started at 18 minutes. So what I have found is that if I actually schedule 18-minute meetings, we get just as much done as we would have in a 60-minute meeting. And people are more present and more focused. You don't need 30, 60, 90-minute meetings. You'll fill the time you have. And the reason I bring this up, Ed, is because I find that when we started doing these 18-minute meetings, first of all, I got a lot of time back in my day that I didn't have before. That's number one. And number two, the conversation was actually better because we were focused. We were able to be present as a group. So we do, we don't do it now, but we used to do these daily huddles with my team. So every morning at 9 a.m., we'd all stand in a circle and we'd talk about the clients we're working on, the challenges, see if there was any cross sharing and learning to be had. And when we moved those to 18 minutes, it was so powerful. And believe me, you'll get so much more time back in your day. So if you want to, first of all, if you want to make sure that you're getting to those high value things, make sure that your meetings aren't sucking your day with long time frames. It simply don't need to happen. You fill the time that you have. Think about trying that with your team and see if that actually makes a difference for you. So the second thing I would add to this question around protecting the best hours of your day is, and this is going to sound a little bit counter, but go with me for a second. What I'm going to say is ease into it. Here's the mistake that we make. And I think we decide to go all in and it's not sustainable. It's like going from eating fast food every day to suddenly doing a whole 30, you know, nothing is all raw, vegan, whatever diet. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because it's not really sustainable. It's too big of a shift too soon. And oftentimes when we're trying to protect our time and we're trying to get to more high value activities, we suddenly say to the rest of the team, I am not available in the mornings ever. Do not reach me with any of this stuff until noon. But Ed, you mentioned sales. And I think you and I both know that's really not realistic. So then that sets you up for failure. And you think, oh, well, I didn't protect my most valuable time Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and I didn't get it 5 days this week, so I didn't do it right. Kind of like I didn't stick to my diet every day, so I obviously failed. Here's my suggestion. Switch one meal a day. And what I mean by that is ease into protecting your time. Block out 30 minutes every day and just make those 30 minutes your protected high-value time. Block out only Monday and Wednesday to start and make those your high value time. I really believe, and I've seen that because we go all in so fast, we set ourselves up for failure. We had to just work into it. And frankly, we have to train our team and our customers to respect that time. Here's the hard truth, Ed. We have trained our teams and our customers to believe that we're available 24/7. Whenever they need us in that moment, we will jump. And I get, by the way, that real estate is a fast-paced industry. A lot of us are in fast-paced industries, but we're also not doing brain surgery. We're not on call. 15, 30 minutes is not going to be the end of the world. So see if you can chunk out your time to protect it and still serve those people. And in the meantime, you're training your team and your customers to know that, hey, this is my valuable time. This is your valuable time, whatever that is to your team, to the other people. And we're going to protect that. But you got to train people. We trained them in the opposite direction, and now we've got to train them back. But like I said, and I know I sound like a broken record on this last point, in training your customers and your team, to protect those best hours of the day, you got to ease your way into it. Start with small increments, only a couple days a week. Over time, you will train yourself, your team, your customers to value that high value time, as you called it, that productive time, whatever it is. Like you said, for some of us, it's the morning. For me, it's definitely the morning. And for other people, it's the afternoon. And that's totally okay. And I'd say that every industry has its own rhythm, its own ebb and flow. So if your industry is, you know, it's always banging down the door in the mornings, then maybe you chunk out 15, 30 minutes in the morning as your high value time if you work best there, but you do more of that stuff in the afternoons because you know mornings is always fires or vice versa. So look at the rhythm of your business too. The next thing is make sure that you block out your calendar for work time or high value time or create stuff time, thinking time, whatever you want, whatever speaks to you, what you want to call it. I learned a lesson a while ago that has really stuck with me. It was this business program I did, and they said, your calendar is a tool to achieve your objectives, not a tool for others to suck your time. I think we treat our calendars as a way for other people to manage our day. But if you know that you've got high value things that you need to do, you better put those on the calendar. You better block out chunks of time to make those things happen so that other things don't get scheduled in. I used to just give my calendar away, right? And a lot of companies, this is actually a big challenge because when people schedule meetings, they look at everybody's calendar and then they schedule it and then it goes on everybody's calendar. And that's okay, that's efficient. But my suggestion to all of us is to treat our calendar as a tool to achieve our objectives. And to do that, you gotta block out time on your calendar for the time that you wanna protect. Do not let other people take that time away from you. And like I said in the beginning, if it's just 30 minutes here and there to start, there is nothing so urgent in most of our worlds that it can't wait 30, 20, whatever it is, minutes. But think about your calendar differently. This is not a tool for others. And it's blank space on a calendar is actually not a good thing. If you look at my calendar, you'll see that every minute is blocked out. But a lot of that is work time. And I do that because I know there's things I have to get done. I look ahead and I know a meeting's coming up. I know a keynote's coming up. I know I need to write a proposal for a client. I block that time out for those high value things that have to get done as my work time. It's in a separate color. My team knows not to mess with that time unless it's absolutely urgent. And by urgent, I mean like if I don't answer this right now, someone is going to lose a job or things aren't going to happen. And that is really once every 4 months, maybe that happens. But think about your calendar differently. Use it to protect that time. Blank space is not good. And here's the other piece of advice I'd say on this protecting our most valuable time. And this is the one that nobody loves because everybody knows that I get up at 4 a.m., right? I get up at 4 a.m., I have my coffee, I go to the gym, I'm home by 6. Here's why. In my business, sales start early. I know, Ed, you mentioned you're in sales too. Sales start early. And the reality is sales move the business forward. So I know that, you know, between 9 and 11 is the witching hour for just the kind of the sales activity that needs to happen. So I start my day 30 minutes earlier so that I can always get my protected time in for at least 30 minutes in the morning so I can chunk out something before the whirlwind starts. Now, I don't know if that whirlwind is real or something I've trained my customers to do, as I mentioned earlier, right? You train your customers and your team to treat you a certain way. But for me, I know, because most of my clients are on the East Coast, that morning time frame is important to them because that's when they're calling me, right? It's right before lunch for them. It's morning for me. So I start earlier and I get that stuff out of the way earlier. And then over time, I added in a couple days where that time extends and I don't do any of that activity in the morning, to my point about the calendar and blocking it off. I've got one other suggestion for all of us because it comes from one of my favorite books, Deep Work by Cal Newport. And in fact, I have it in front of me because I wanted to say the subtitle. It's Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World. We'll put link in the show notes, and I highly recommend you read this book. There's one chapter where it talks about, it's called Drain the Shallows. And that kind of links back to the activity I mentioned in the very beginning about tracking what you do and the activities. but it talks about reducing the shallow work, the work that doesn't move the needle forward. It's got some great stories in here, one in particular about 37 Signals, which then became Basecamp, which is a project management tool. And in fact, the one that we use, we absolutely love it. And it talked about how at first they gave everybody a 4-day work week. And while that sounds good, what people try to do then is cram 5 days of work into 4 days of work. And what the leadership at 37 Signals realized is that it's not just about truncating the hours you have, but it's about getting rid of the shallow work that is more unnecessary, that doesn't produce those high value results that you mentioned in your question. If you can minimize that, I think you'll find too, you'll have more high value time. So, Ed, great question. I'm so glad you asked it. I have, as usual, slightly more, maybe an innovative answer to this question, just about how I think about it. And just to recap, 18-minute time cap when you have meetings. 18 minute is focus, 18 minute gives you time back. You can get it done in 18 minutes. The second piece of advice, ease into it, right? Don't go all in like a diet. Maybe it's just 30 minutes. Maybe it's just a couple days. Third one, train your team and your customers. You've trained them to be available. Now it's time to train them out of it. Next one, block your calendar with work time. Remember, blank space is your enemy. Your calendar is a tool to achieve your objectives. The other one, start early. If you know that there's certain hours or witching hour, work around those. Start 30 minutes earlier if you can. Add 30 minutes on the back end. Whatever it takes, find an extra 30 minutes. And then that last one is my favorite work, my favorite book, Deep Work by Cal Newport. I highly suggest you take a look at that. It helps you rethink how to work more effectively, not about more time, not to be more productive, but how to get the deep work, the right work done. And the piece of advice I highlighted just for this conversation is drain the shallows. All right, as usual, awesome question. Thank you so much for asking. I so appreciate all of your questions that come in. Really, I'm so honored that you're willing to ask and to share and to allow us to use this platform to hopefully enrich people's lives and work and the productivity and the sense of contribution that all of us get out of what we do day to day. So thank you. Keep submitting those questions. Ed, I hope that helped you. Honestly, and even thinking about this, it made me realize some things that maybe I've slacked on a little bit, like blocking my calendar and some other things that I'm going to get back to. So thank you for that.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.